What are we afraid of? Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy 1 through 7. That'll be the jump-off point for us this morning. And we're going to delve into a topic that is so relevant in today's world, fear and overcoming it through the power of God. So we'll be looking at 2 Timothy 1, 7. Again, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." According to many search engines, people are most afraid of flying, public speaking, heights, the dark, intimacy, death, failure, rejection, spiders, and commitment. Maybe some of you can identify with those. Maybe one or more than one. Some of these fears are rational and some of these are manufactured. I have a fear that wasn't on this list. I have a fear of roller coasters. No one can tell me that my fear is not rational. I once went on the Hulk with my daughter for an eighth grade trip, and let me tell you, for the rest of the day, I was as green as the Hulk. And to this day, you couldn't pay me enough money to go on a roller coaster. I won't even go to the fair and ride a little teacup ride. It's not going to happen. I also get car sick. Maybe you know that of me. If I'm not driving, if I'm not in control, I can get sick for days. A priest and a taxi driver both died and went to heaven. St. Peter was at the pearly gates waiting for them. "Come with me," said St. Peter to the taxi driver. The taxi driver did as he was instructed, and he followed St. Peter to the mansion. It had everything you can imagine, to a bowling alley, to an Olympic-sized pool. "Wow, thank you," said the taxi driver. Next, St. Peter led the priest to the old rugged shack with a bunk bed and a little old television set. "Wait, I think you're a little mixed up," said the priest. "Shouldn't I be the one who gets the mansion? After all, I was the priest. I went to church every day. I preached God's word." "Yes, that's true. But during your sermons, people slept." "When the taxi driver drove, everyone prayed." If you've ever driven in one of those taxi cabs, you've experienced real fear. Fear is a universal human experience. It's something that we all grapple with at some point in our lives. Fear can, in some instances, be positive, be good for you, even save your life. Fear can be a response to the unknown, a reaction to a perceived danger, or a product of anxiety about the future. And I think we can all identify and relate to all of those. Fear, though, can be paralyzing. Fear can prevent us from living the abundant life that God has promised to each of us. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that fear entered the world as a result of sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they experienced fear for the first time. They were afraid of God's judgment and they hid from Him. This fear was a direct consequence of their sin. It was not part of God's original design for humanity. Satan uses fear as a tool to keep us from fulfilling our God-given purpose. He knows that if he can keep us in a state of fear, we'll be less likely to step out in faith and do what God is calling us to do. He uses fear to keep us in a state of paralysis, unable to move forward in our walk with God. What are some things that have allowed you? What are some things that you have allowed fear to keep you from experiencing? Intimacy, relationships, the fear of failure might keep you from trying something new or discovering a new passion. Fear will keep us from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to non-believers. Fear of men will keep us or allow us to be intimidated and will neutralize our effectiveness for God. Fear is not from God. He does not want us to live in fear. Instead, he wants us to live in the power and in the love and in the sound mind that he provides for us. In the words of C.S. Lewis, God who foresaw your tribulation has specifically armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain. He promises to be with us in the midst of it, providing us the strength and the courage to overcome. So when we speak of God's power to overcome fear, we're referring to the divine strength that is available to us through our faith in him. This power is not a concept or an abstract idea, but it is a tangible force that we can access and utilize in our daily lives. Don't you need to tap into God's power to get you through whatever it is that you're facing with today? It is a power that comes from the very heart of God. It is a power that is rooted in his love for us and his desire for our well-being. For we have a good, good Father who loves us and cares for his children. Greater than any fear we face, his is a power that can conquer any obstacle. It can overcome any challenge and triumph any adversity. It's not limited by our circumstance or our weakness. It is a power that is limitless and boundless and inexhaustible. Is a power that is available to us at all times, in all situations, in all conditions. It is a power that can change us, that can transform us, that can empower us to face our fears with courage and with confidence. Joshua 1:9 says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for your Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go." When we trust in God, when we rely on his promises, when we surrender our fears to him, we tap into that power. It is a power that we can experience and witness in our lives every single day. Is a power that can change our perspective, that can shift our focus, and can transform our experience of fear. We talked about that a little bit today as we're going through this Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table study, how we need to change our perspective. Oftentimes we allow our circumstances and the situations that we're in to control us and to dictate what we do, but we need to see that as a tool that Satan uses to keep us from fulfilling what God has called us to do. Change your perspective and shift your focus. Instead of thinking about why am I going through this, why is this happening to me, think about it as an opportunity to grow and to strengthen your faith and trust in God and to depend upon his resources. This power is intimately connected with our relationship with God. The more we know God, the more we understand his love for us, the more we trust in his promises, and then we can experience his power to overcome fear. We need to know him, understand his love, trust his promises to experience his power. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. God's love for us is perfect, it's complete, it's unconditional. It is a love that reassures us, that comforts us, a love that gives us hope, a love that drives out fear, that dispels anxiety, that brings peace to our hearts. Faith is the victory. It's all about faith. The power of faith to overcome our fears is a central theme in the Bible, and it is a cornerstone of our walk with Christ. Faith is not just a belief in God, but it's a complete trust in his power, in his love, and in his promises. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, as stated in Hebrews chapter 11. When we have faith, we are confident in God's ability to fulfill his promises, even when our circumstances seem impossible. Are you going through a seemingly impossible situation? I know many of you are. I know some of the things you're dealing with. Faith will see us through. Faith will hold you and get you through. The power of faith is what's necessary to overcome fear. It's a transformative power that can turn even the most terrifying situations into opportunities for growth and spiritual development. It is the conviction that no matter what we face, God is in control and He will see us through. When we look at the Bible, we see numerous examples of individuals who through faith overcame their fears. Think of David, a young shepherd boy who faced the giant Goliath. He could have been paralyzed by fear, but his faith in God gave him courage to confront and defeat his adversary. Remember the words, "You come with me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Or consider Daniel, who was thrown into the den of lions for his faith. He could have succumbed to his fear, but his trust in God kept him safe. Peter getting out of the boat and walking to Jesus on the water. He put aside his fears and he trusted Jesus. These biblical examples aren't just stories, but they're testimonies of the power of God and the power of faith. Right here this morning, in this place, many have held on to faith to get through some difficult times. We hold on to hope. We pray for a miracle. We trust that God will see us through the storm as He has promised. These examples in Scripture and the testimony of others reminds us that when we put our trust in God, we can overcome our fears. It's in times like that that we need to make a choice to place faith over fear. Having faith involves considering the situation, weighing the options, understanding the danger, but then choosing to fight through the fear and trust God anyway. It means pushing our fears to the side and replacing it with faith. That doesn't say that it's always going to be easy or we'll never experience fear. But we have the faith to face our fears and to confront them and to move forward. Then we have the promise of God's presence to strengthen us. This is a profound and comforting truth that permeates Scripture. It's a promise that assures us that we are never alone, even in our darkest moments. One aspect of this promise is the assurance of God's constant companionship. We're reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 31, 6, we're told that God will never leave us nor forsake us. This means no matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult or how painful the circumstances are, God is with us. He is not distant, He is not uninvolved, but He is a close, caring, and compassionate Father who walks with us through every season of our lives. And then we have God's presence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. The awareness of God's presence gives us that courage to face anything that comes our way. And in the process, we're transformed. The more we spend time with God, the more we know of God, we're changed. We become like Jesus. We understand His love and His grace, and we experience a peace that passes all understanding as that peace fills our hearts and our minds, and that transformation comes from the inside out. The renowned theologian A.W. Tozer once said, "The most important thing about a man is not what he does, but what he becomes in the presence of God." We become more like Christ, and this transformation equips us to live fearlessly and to live faithfully. Then in the face of fear, God blesses us with courage. We look at Deuteronomy 31:6 and we see that God commands us to be strong and courageous. He doesn't suggest it or recommend it. He commands this to us. This is because he knows that this is what it's going to take. We need to face all situations with his strength, with his power. He wants us to be prepared with his divine courage. It's a courage that says, even though I walk through the valley of the dark of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This courage is rooted in the knowledge that God is with us. He'll never leave us. We can trust him when we face our fears with confidence. We can stand up to the challenges that come our way, knowing that we are not alone. We are not alone. This blessing of courage in the face of fear is not a one-time gift. It's a gift that God gives us again and again, each time we face a fear, and each time we choose to trust God in that fear, instead of giving into that fear, we grow stronger and stronger in our faith. And then we become more confident in God's faithfulness and more assured of his presence in our lives. So we need to grow in our faith. We need to learn to trust God more. We need to become people that God created us to be, people who are strong and courageous, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Another great source of strength is found in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I will be with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Think about those words. These words hold significance because I was reading on Facebook this week, Sarah Kelly, Leanne Host's daughter, posted this exact verse of scripture as she gave an update on Leanne and as a call for prayer for her mother. Leanne, again, is battling cancer, and we need to lift her up. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. So often we become dismayed by our circumstances. And I know some of the things that you are dealing with are very, very difficult. But we're reminded that we're not to fear because we have a God who's all-powerful. And he loves us. And he will give us the strength that we need to endure that. And he will help you, and he will uphold you. Jason and Leanne need strength. Stan and Kathy need strength. Bobby and Clara need strength. Butch and Jane need strength. Many of you need strength. These are the ones that I thought about as I was preparing. But we all need the strength of the Lord to fight this battle, to overcome, so that we are overcome, so we can overcome our fear. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through the Holy Spirit in the inner man. His power is available for us. Paul tapped into that power. Remember in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12:9, we find these words, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." It's when we're weak, when we understand how frail we are, when we understand how we need God, that we become strong. Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we may confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper; I will not be afraid.'" So he upholds us with his righteous right hand. He says to us, in effect, "I will walk with you as a father. I will lead you. I will guide you in your way. I will hold you up when you are weak. I will pick you up when you fall." Wow. How fitting was that statement? This morning I went to help my pastor up after he fell. Funny story. He cut his head a little bit and had a little bit of a mark. Not a gaping wound that was needing stitches, but a scratch. And I got blood on my shirt. He says, "Now you've been covered with the blood." Only Stan Stewart. But I said, "I need to be washed. I can't go to church with your blood." He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you in trial, in trouble, in temptation, in the path that you walk, in whatever you face. God says, "I am your God, so do not fear." While fear of things can be disproportionate and can sometimes cause us to be stuck, there is a fear that can empower us, a fear that can change our lives, and I'm talking about the fear of God. To fear God is to recognize God for who He is. He is holy, He is almighty, He is righteous, He is pure, He is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, and He is all-wise. And when we regard God correctly, we gain a clearer picture of ourselves. We are sinful, we are weak, we are frail, and we are needy. And when we recognize who God is and we recognize who we are, we fall at His feet in humble adoration and respect. This fear doesn't mean that we're terrified of Him. Throughout the Bible, we find the phrases, "Do not be afraid." And God wasn't trying to scare His people. He was trying to show them His mighty power. He wants us to follow Him out of love rather than fear. Today, we've journeyed through some powerful scriptures, reminding us that our faith in God can be conquered. Our fear can be conquered by our faith in God. We've been reassured that of His constant presence and His courage that He blesses us with, remembering that fear has no hold on us when we trust in God. These are great reminders to those of us who know God, those of us who have placed our faith in Him, who have placed our faith in Jesus, who have believed that by confessing our sin and by changing our ways, we're forgiven and given that free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. We, having done all of this, can stand before a holy God and not fear. But what about those who might be here today who have not yet come to that place in their lives where they understand this truth? What do you need to do so that you too can live a life of faith over fear? Do you have a fear of the unknown? Do you have a fear of failure, of the future? Do you have a fear of death? That fear can be dispelled, and it begins by knowing God and knowing ourselves. We're spiritually sick. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's a price that we cannot pay, that there's a debt that is owed that we cannot pay. We die from the disease of sin, and that is the very, very bad news. But I have good news for you this morning. There's a cure within reach for all of us, and all we have to do is accept it and be cured, be saved, to be all that we can be and to live the life that God wants you to live, that God intended for us. So what will you do this morning with Jesus? He wants to have a relationship with you, with each of us, but sin prevents that from happening. So we need to admit what God already knows about us, that we're all sinners. We need to confess our sin. We need to ask Jesus to forgive us, to come into our hearts if we're without Christ as our Savior, to forgive us and to help us to live a righteous life. We'll not be perfect. We're still sinners. We still mess up. But God wants us to have a relationship with Him through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that no one can come to God except through the Son. So he wants to have a relationship with us. God desires that we would not live in fear, that we would know him and live. So I would ask you, as we enter into a time of invitation, is there something that you need to do with Jesus? Put aside your fear and trust in God. I'll be at the front to receive you and to pray for you as Ryan comes and leads us in song as soon as I pray. Let's pray together. Father, we're just so grateful for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that we have, that we can overcome all fear as we increase our faith and as we trust in you. Thank you, Father, for the victory that we have over death, that fear has no place in our lives because the victory has already been won. We pray, God, for any here today that needs to make decisions for salvation, Lord, that today would be the day where they step out in faith, that they trust in you, that they understand that there's only one way to have a relationship with the holy God, and it is by receiving Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted. If there's any other decisions, maybe a decision for church membership, or maybe for baptism, or maybe someone just needs to come to the altar and pray, Lord, I pray that we would be responsive, that we would be obedient to that which you've laid upon each of our hearts today. And we trust in your results, and we'd ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.